Welcome back to Nachbar Topic. We're going to be focusing on Perek Chof, the 20th chapter of Shmuel Aleph today. This is a chapter which has a tremendous amount of press. It is a very famous Perek. It is the one we lay as the Haftarah of Parshas Machar Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So if Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday, this is the chapter we're laying in Shul. And there's a lot written about this. I've come across entire books that are written just on this particular perek, so there's a lot to talk about. It's a long perek, lots to discuss. We're going to try to jam-pack a lot into these next few minutes. So here we go. David has now clearly realized that Shaul is trying to kill him. He's being pursued, and David HaMelech runs from Ramah. Remember, Shaul is in a trance of Nevuah at this point in time. David HaMelech, while Shaul is still trapped in his Nevuah, David HaMelech runs out, and he bumps into Yonatan, and he says to Yonatan, "What is wrong? What's going on? Why is he trying to kill me so much? Like, David doesn't understand what's with Shaul." So Yonatan says, "Don't worry, he's not really trying to kill you. If he'd try to kill you, he'd tell me. I know I'm on the inside circle. He would have let me know." David says, No. He probably wants to kill me, but he doesn't want to tell you because he knows how much of a friendship we have between the two of us, and he's going to kill me without telling you." So Yonatan says, "Look, I'll listen. Whatever you say, I'll do." So David says, here's what we should do. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. This is the reason why this chapter is called Machar Chodesh. Machar is going to be Chodesh, the first day of the month. And what's going to happen is that I'm part of the cabinet of the king. I'm on the inner circle. I'm a general. I'm also one of the musicians. And I'm not going to go. So my seat's going to be empty. And you're going to be there and you're going to see what's happening. And if asked, you're going to say that I went home for a family sacrifice, meaning to say I put my family in front of the king, and we're going to see what his reaction is going to be. If he gets angry, then you know that the kol sahara, that the anger and the bad is taken over him. If not, then there's what to do with. So deal with. So Yonatan says, "I'll do that. I will absolutely do this." And David actually says to him, "If your father finds me guilty, you know, you can kill me." Meaning, if you find that your father finds me guilty, I accept the fact that you have loyalties to your father over me. And Yonatan says, "Chas v'shalom, I'm not going to kill you, chalil alach." And then Yonatan takes him out to the field. And then, unfortunately, point out this is the same field that Yonatan took his father out to in the previous chapter, where he told his father to swear not to kill David. So there's sort of this dramatic irony in the background. And Yonatan makes a covenant with David and says, "I'm going to make sure to let you know, even if you're in danger, I'm not going to betray you, I'm not going to kill you, but you need to make a covenant that you're going to protect me so that when you come to power, you're not going to kill me or my children." And David HaMelech makes this covenant, and it describes ki avas nafsho ahavoi, that this deep friendship, and they trust each other. So the way they decide the coding is going to be is that, let's say, then now they need to communicate afterwards. But the problem is that if Yonatan has found out that his father really hates David and wants to kill David, it doesn't work well for the son of the king to be working with David. So it could be endangering David or Yonatan or both of them if they communicate directly. So they set up this code where Yonatan is going to take out his young arms bearer, and they're going to go to the field where David HaMelech is going to be hiding, a special place by the Evan HaEzel, by this particular wayfarer's rock, and he's going to shoot arrows. And he's going to shoot into the field, and the young man's going to go out, sort of like a golf caddy kind of, you know, go to see where he can find the arrows. And if he says the arrows are from you to me, meaning that's closer, then David, you can come out, you know, it is safe. If I say the arrows are beyond you, then you know that it's dangerous and stay hidden, and we'll speak in another time. We'll find a time to speak with each other. And David HaMelech agrees, and they set up the code. So it is the first day of Rosh Chodesh. It's Vayehi HaChodesh. And they sit down to eat, and David's seat is not filled. Shaul says to himself, you know what it is? Mikrehu bilti tahor hu lo tahor. It's you know, probably David is ritually impure, that's why he's not here today, and he doesn't think much more of it. But the second day, he's also missing that. And Shaul says to Yonatan, "Why is he not here?" So Yonatan gives him the response that David told him to do, which is that he has a family sacrifice at home. And this point in time, Shaul blows it. He gets really angry, and he says, "Ben nava samardos." He says, "You are choosing the Ben Yishai over yourself. The embarrassment of you, the nakedness of you, and the nakedness of your mother, like a terrible insult to his son." And and he says, "Any time that Ben Yishai, that David is around, your kingship will never come to fruition." And Yonatan gets up angrily and says, "What did he do? Why are you trying to pursue him? Why are you trying to kill him?" Shaul is by the wall. He picks up his spear, and Yonatan realizes that the writing is on the wall, and Shaul leaves in anger. goes out to the field, they perform the code, he shoots the arrows, and he says the arrows are beyond you, which is the indicator to David that it's too dangerous to come out. Then he sends a caddy back to the young men, Na'ar, back to the city, and they reach out to each other where there's no one around, and they hug and they cry because they realize that they never again will be able to spend a free life being friends, being brothers-in-law, essentially, living a life of harmony, because they know that it'll always be, as long as Shaul's around, there will always be discord between the two of them. And this is the end of the parak. That's 42 psukim, and Yonatan tells David, Gelech lo shalom, go in peace. Okay, so a few things just to focus on this parak. It's really a complex, complex parak in many ways. First of all, in the initial conversation between Yonatan and David, Yonatan seems to be of the firm belief that Shaul would never kill David without telling him. And David Melech is trying to tell him, no, this is not happening. What is really the point of this argument? The Radak points out that maybe what the discussion is to what degree is Shaul really in control of himself, or is he under the influence of this Ruach Rav, this negative spirit, this negative wind which takes over him? That's the question at hand. David is saying, no, it's the real Shaul who's trying to kill me. It's meaning, rationally, he wants to kill me. Whereas Yonatan says, no, it might just be, I know he's trying to kill you, but it might only be when he's under the cloud. And if it's under the cloud, we can forestall that. We can see when it's happening. And David's trying to convince him, no, it's the real Shaul. It's not just this extra outside force which is taking over him, which is why they set up this experiment, which is going to identify who the real Shaul is. When we go further in the Perek, it is interesting they make this covenant, an intergenerational covenant between David and Yonatan and the family of David and the family of Yonatan. And did this actually take effect? The answer is yes. When we move into Shmuel Beis, we're going to see that many of Shaul's children are killed, but he has a child called Mephibosheth, who is lame. And David Melech takes him under his wing and gives him a lifelong support on the king's table, which means that Mephibosheth is never going to be hunted, he's never going to have to want for bread, he is going to be supported. However, later on, as we get towards the middle, towards end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, you're going to see that Mephibosheth is not going to have made it to go with David into exile in front of his son Avshalom. And David's going to question Mephibosheth, why was it that you did not accompany me? And Mephibosheth's answer is that his slave, whose name is Tziva, who used to be a slave of Shaul, we're going to meet him later on, didn't take him, and he couldn't get on the horse himself because he was not able to walk. And he tells David, I'm loyal to you, I wasn't betraying you. And David doesn't actually believe Mephibosheth. David actually removes half of the real estate that was given to Mephibosheth in distrust for Mephibosheth. And because of that, says Rashi, that's why one of the reasons why the kingdom was split, because David Melech broke that covenant with Yonatan, which was made in Perek Chof. Very dangerous and ominous sign for the future. We're thinking about it in a bigger Tanakh perspective. In terms of the code, this coding of the arrows and shooting as the arrows is the message. Of course, this is a security measure so that they shouldn't be caught speaking to each other if Yonatan is followed. But on the other hand, the Mefarshim all dig into the depth of this as to, you know, what's going on over here. The Kedushas Levi, the Rav Levi Lefsacher Berdishev, points out that there's a halacha. You shouldn't spread bad news. And should there be bad news, they don't want to even use their words to describe it, so they're using the arrows. The Malbim points out that it might have to do something with Loshon Hara, meaning the arrow is one of the descriptions, the metaphors used to describe the tongue and how the tongue can kill from afar. Why is he doing it over here? So if you go into the Midrashim, the Yalkut Shimoni, many Midrashim on this Perek, the Midrashim point out that David Melech's place over here was in danger because of Lashon Hara, because of people like Doeg HaAdami, people who were slandering David, which brought Shaul into this terrible space of hunting David down. And that's why sort of the expression of this state is expressed with a metaphor of arrows and the tongue. Finally, one last point over here is that when Shaul is getting angry with Yonatan, he uses this terrible description. He says, Ben Navas Amardus, and he insults the mother of Yonatan, which is really shocking. Like, what is going on over here? So, a teacher of mine, Rabbi Avram Rivlin, used to be the Mashkiach Kerem Yavne, points out that the Gemarim Psachim notes that the statement that Shaul made in his head just the night day before when David HaMelech was absent about Bilti Tahur Mikrehu Ki Lo Tahar is a very tautological statement, which is indicating that Shaul thinks that David is impure, but he doesn't even say it. He thinks in we'll call it negative negatives. So he's not saying his tameh, he's saying bilti tahor, meaning Shaul's got a clean mind, he's a clean thinker. The Tanakh is trying to show us over here is that Shaul wouldn't even think negative words about David HaMelech. So why is he insulting Yonatan in this way? So what's really at stake over here is he's saying to Yonatan a very simple thing. Yonatan, you're the crown prince. If you're denying your pedestal to the crown and you're giving it to David, you know what people are going to say about you? They're not going to say Yonatan's a nice guy. They're not going to say Yonatan's a gracious person. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say maybe Yonatan isn't a legitimate prince. The op-eds in the papers are going to be, well, Yonatan might not be from the king after all. Maybe they're going to say, well, Yonatan's mother and Yonatan's father, who knows if they're really the king? That's what the Shaul HaMelech is saying to Yonatan. Be very careful who you support and what they're going to say about you. And finally, we close this perek. Rav Yigal Ariel says, as he closes this perek, that Rosh Chodesh, of course, is the time when there were two kings, where there was the moon and the sun, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, asks for mechila, or asks us to bring a chatas for the fact that he was mamait. He diminished the one king of the moon and diminished it to a metaphoric smaller size. Here we have the two kings. We have Shaul and David, and unfortunately, we reach the conclusion at this point in time, at the end of this perek, that they cannot coincide. They cannot live. They cannot have two crowns, one king. And that's the unfortunate conclusion this perek presents for us after this experiment has been gone and done. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.